and I wanted to mention once again that our show is now on video on YouTube for free. We're doing a video version of the Aware Show now, broadcast audio for 16 years. We figured, hey, why not bring it to video? Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, and you can get notifications of the new shows that we add every week. These are your favorite transformational leaders giving great tools, techniques, and how-tos that you can take away and use right away. It's short. It's entertaining. Check that out, and please subscribe to the Aware Show channel. All right. So did you know that, according to my guest today, Nancy Collier, she wrote a book called The Power of Off, that most people now check their smartphones 150 times per day. Is that you? Or every 6 minutes you're picking up the cell phone? And that young adults are now sending an average 110 texts per day. So furthermore, she also added that 46% of smartphone users now say that their devices are something they couldn't live without, yet we didn't even know about them 15 years ago. So it's now something we can't live without. It's very, very interesting of the impact that smartphones have made on our connections to other people, human beings, real-life connections, not digital ones. Even during a regular dinner table, you will see a couple, family, they're on their phones, completely disconnected. We jokingly in our family call it a tech break, because we'll notice, okay, we're just going to have a tech break because obviously we need to get on our phones right now, but let's make sure that there's a designated time for it, since it seems to not be something we can put down. I'd love to find out from Nancy, why has this become such an addiction for all of us? And welcome to the show. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. It has become an addiction. You know, before I even say why, just to note that the markers of an addiction, whatever it is, that your life is getting smaller, that you're giving up lots of the activities that used to nourish you so you can have more of your substance, that when you can't get your substance, you are experiencing withdrawal symptoms, anxiety, depression, whatever it may be, that you are lying about your tech use. In this case, I can't tell you how many people I know who are checking in bathroom stalls because they're embarrassed, that you continue using even though you know that it has a detrimental effect on your sleep or your health or your connections or something in your life. And essentially at the end of the day, that there's a part of you that knows you'd like to cut down but doesn't and won't and can't, whatever that is. So, you know, we are addicts, right? And it's not about judging that and making a big production about that. But like any addiction, it will eventually shrink our lives. It will eventually stop giving us what we want it to give us. And here's the really the worst part about it is that it will make deriving joy from the rest of life impossible, as all addictions do. We can't actually have a regular evening with a friend or whatever small event it might be and feel a sense of joy or satisfaction. So, yes, it's an addiction. Why now? You know, this is sort of a $10,000 question. And truthfully, I'm not really sure that it's a helpful question, because we've always, you know, Lisa, we've always wanted to check out on the moment. That's the human species. If we can get away from now, if we can be distracted,
escape,
we will. We will. And this is just the latest sort of ally in that reptilian part of us.
Escapism.
And, you know, the only difference between this addiction and any other addiction really is that we've all drunk the Kool-Aid. We're all in. That's the only difference.
Well, but let's... You, as a licensed clinical social worker, what do you see that is the need to know or the need to be a part of everything that's going on? Because social media really hooks you into people's life. You feel like you're missing out if you're not there. And what is that basic human need? Need to belong?
Well, we all, you know, at the very, very most primitive level, we need to belong. We need to belong to survive. And, you know, we see that in so many different forms. We need to be included. And sadly, I mean, there's a lot of good news here, but sadly, the way we're belonging these days is in these very superficial ways of being part of the social media dialogue or being part of, you know, any one of the things available on technology. But it's all coming from this very basic place that technology, I have to say, our relationship with it is exacerbating, which is where I am and my own company is not enough. I am not enough. I have to be part of something. I have to be part of something, included in order to matter. This is a very, very primitive part of every human being. And technology is tripping this off in a way I've never seen before. It's also, you know, before we turn five, maybe, we have that experience where, you know, if mommy leaves the room, let's say, we don't feel we exist. We're not being reflected. We don't feel our own existence because she's not there to say, wow, look at you doing that. And we go into a kind of state of panic. Well, where we are right now is not that different. We're kind of regressing to a very early stage where everything we do needs to be reflected and commented on and approved of in order for us to feel it's important and that it even exists, that we exist.
Well, it's a double-edged sword, of course, because social media also can make us feel like the world is at our fingertips, and it shrinks our, and it increases our global awareness, and it, as some people say, makes us universal humans if it's used with love and if it's not a divisive type of instrument. So there are, it's a double-edged sword. So why do you, do you ever talk about the positive aspects of Facebook or social media?
Well, here's the thing. Listen, I am a huge techie. This is the crazy thing. And part of what makes it so complicated, and part of why I wrote the book, is because we have to find freedom in technology, not from it. You know, this is not about becoming a Luddite. This is not about, you know, going to live in a cave. Well, these days caves have Wi-Fi anyway. You know, that's over. We are in technology now. So what my interest in is, how do we celebrate the parts of technology that are fantastic? Right? I don't have a sense of direction. I bow to my GPS on a daily basis because it saves me so much time and stress. But the way that we're using it, right, is not necessarily bringing us a sense of peace, a sense of good life. That was part of also the writing of the book, is as a therapist, listening to people all day, I hear how what we really crave, what we really want in terms of nourishing relationships, meaningful experiences, to have the feeling we're really good at stuff. We've taken something, thought it through on a long-term basis, and reaped the benefits. All these parts of what make human beings actually feel well are contradictory to the way we're using technology. So we need to just tweak it and turn it so that, okay, we've gotten off on kind of a negative foot with some bad habits. It's leading us away from well-being. And how do we now start to be more mindful so that our evolved self is making the choices about how to use it, not our reptilian self? Nothing about getting off it at all.
Okay. All right. So then, well, you do talk about a 30-day digital detox program. Why would you do something?
Yeah.
Like, what is that purpose of that?
Well, the detox, sometimes when we're full in, you know, we're checking. Right now, the last statistic I heard was we check our phone 190 times a day. It's gone up. And so when we're in this full-on, half of people, not just millennials, but all people right now, are when they wake up in the middle of the night, they're checking their phone to see what's come in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., 4 a.m. In Korea, it's considered normal behavior to to wear diapers at the video gaming places so you don't have to interrupt your play. So, okay, we're gone.
Ew.
We're out there. And when we recognize that, right, we need to do something where we kind of do something dramatic. We stop, right? We just stop. And we say, okay, let me get control of this. Let me get some handle on what parts work and what parts don't work. But in order to do that, we really need to stop. And so the detox is, it's one behavior a day that I introduce, and you're adding the behavior. So, you know, it's mild. First half hour that you get up in the morning, you're not using. You're taking that time, for example, to check into your body, to set an intention for the day, something that speaks to the larger part of our humanness, something that speaks to really what makes us feel nourished. Or a small one, when I'm with a friend having a meal or a drink or what have you, I don't put the phone on the table.
Uh-huh.
I just don't put it on the phone. I put it away, right? Or if I'm cooking dinner, I see what it's like to actually cook dinner and just experience that. And I'm eating the dinner. I'm experiencing that. We introduce a very small behavior, and then at the end of the 30 days, and some of the behaviors are to do things. For example, take a walk today. Take a half-hour walk and just wander. No tech, nothing. Just you and space, and see what that's like. So we do that for 30 days, and then we see, okay, how do I feel at the end of 30 days? We journal on this. We sort of contemplate what worked for me, what didn't, and what do I want to keep in my life and what do I want to take out. We need to first do a kind of purging, and then we come back and say, okay, there are fantastic aspects here. What do I want to put back? But we can't, remember, we didn't build these bad habits overnight. Mm. We're not going to get rid of them overnight.
What? Yeah.
So maybe one day, you know, we don't take selfies. We just see what that's like. Don't take a selfie today. See if you still exist at the end of the day.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I had to put a photograph moratorium in my house because I'm a teenager. What happens if someone goes into how do they deal with a relapse, or if they get into kind of an anxiety feeling as a result of not touching their phones or seeing what's going on? And do you suggest stopping and noticing something like that and realizing, I might have a problem?
Yeah. So it's not about judging ourselves. We, you know, we do that well enough. That's our best skill. This is really about starting from a place that says, maybe this isn't working for me exactly the way I'm doing this. So because I can, I don't know, flush my toilet from the road, you know, or turn the music on. So God forbid I should walk in the door, you know, and have to wait
silence.
30 seconds to get my music. Whatever it is, you know, because I can do something, I should do something, I want to do something. Is that working for me? For example, these days, our whole relationship with ourselves and our lives is changing. Our relationship with ourselves is now such that we see ourselves as a kind of vacuum. We have to be supplemented. We have to be entertained. We have to be being with just ourselves. Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. Anything but that, right? We're waiting in a line. We're waiting for a movie to start. Not us. Not ourselves. Well, that's a terribly ungrounding way to feel, to spend our lives essentially, Lisa, trying to outrun ourselves. We can't do that. We have to be able to tolerate our own company if we're ever going to be well. And similarly with life, you know, what's happening with life, I would say, is that we're using, rather than we're taking a walk, let's say on a country road, rather than experiencing that walk, we're using that walk as a way to build our brand. So, ooh, I could take a selfie here, and that would show I'm a person that takes walks. Or check me out, you know, hashtag country road. But what's happening is that people are ending up feeling they haven't lived their lives, feeling empty, feeling like, wait a minute, I've lived all these lives. I have all these photos in, you know, my iPhoto file, but I don't feel like I contain those experiences. I don't have them. I don't own them. I haven't changed as a result of them. So all of that said, the way we're using technology is working against what we really need to feel well. So I would say we need to start with a basic acceptance that maybe the way we're doing this isn't leading to really a nourishing life.
It's interesting because the apps and Facebook and so forth are designed to keep you there. They lead you into these complicated mazes of finding and discovering information, and before you know it, 45 minutes has gone by and you've been sucked into this little tiny screen. And I was watching, I think it was from the article I was reading of yours, there was videos on how many people walk into things and get hit by cars by looking at their phones as they're crossing the streets.
Yeah.
And they get injured. I mean, some people get really hurt. And, I mean, especially stepping off a curb and not looking, and the car just not there. The car's fault at all. Slams into you.
Absolutely.
My producer, Joyce, just told me about an app called Stay Focused, which tracks and limits your time on Facebook. So once you've reached a limit that you set, it shuts you out, which is great.
You know, these are great. These are great. You know, but it's at the same time, we have to be really mindful because places like Snapchat, I mean, you have a teenager. They are building in, these people are brilliant, and I understand it, but they're building in to the software and the coding that you can develop these streaks so that now teenagers, if they don't streak, I think they have to reach out twice a day. They are considered sort of, it's like social suicide.
Yes.
If you don't have certain streaks going.
Right? Yeah, they go crazy.
So,
yes.
That's right. That's right. Their whole, and it's, you know, these are being built into the software. So what I'm really encouraged about is that there are some new engineers and new consciousness coming into the business market that what's happening is new engineers are saying, how do we do just the opposite? So how do we build into the software and the coding that when you're starting to be an addict, you're shut down? Just the opposite of what right now social media is encouraging. And, you know, it's sort of paradoxical, I would say, because on the one hand, we believe that every cinnamon latte, you know, we consume is fascinating. We've reached a level of narcissism, you know, as our, I don't want to say our politics are reflecting, but we've reached a level of narcissism now where everything we do, we imagine, is fascinating. We relate to the audience as if it were our mother, you know, a doting mother, and everyone should be interested. At the same time, though, we have such a dip, and I see this in my practice every day, in our really deeply felt self-esteem and our reliable sense that we're worth something. And so what we're seeing is, you know, as a mom of a teenager, if we don't get the thumbs up, we don't get the likes, or God forbid, the Snapchat is left unopened, you know, our sense of our worth and our lovability and our place in the world is utterly annihilated.
I have heard women doing this. Oh, she didn't like my post. She didn't like my post. Like, are you kidding me?
Yes, terrifying. Terrifying. And, you know, one of the reasons that I point to for this, and, you know, this is just me, there are millions of different ideas on this, but listening to people all day, is that there is an experience right now of instant gratification. You know, we want a product, it's here in the morning. We want a social life, we've got 35 dates set up with a swipe. We want to feel we're giving back. We, you know, wrap our Facebook profile in the flag of the moment. We want an answer to a question. We Google it, done, no figuring out. Everything we can get in a moment. And there is a growing sense that if we have to work for it, put time into it, that there's something dreadfully wrong, and usually our failing. Well, here's the thing, though. Time, effort, this is what creates self-esteem. When over time we work through difficulty, we challenge ourselves, we put in effort, that's what makes us not only feel joy and an important and meaningful life, but makes us trust ourselves and builds inner strength. Well, we're not doing that anymore. We're actually choosing to just have the answer without the effort. Well, the consequences of that are the lack of self-esteem. Mm. And that's what we're seeing pseudo-solved mm-hmm. by social media. It lasts about a minute.
Huh. Wow. I mean, it really is not going away. So we need to figure out how to deal with it rather than to think that it's the Antichrist, because it's not. It's not leaving. It's going to get stronger. Our world's going to get more automated. These kids who are maybe building a part of their brain that actually is built for technology and navigating technology will live in a cashless world. They're going to fully be in an automated world in 20 years. So it yeah. kind of needs to happen. They all need to know programming, and they'll need to know how things work. And I don't necessarily think that we should be – there's such a fine line, which is why it's such a good thing to write a book about this. I mean, you know, in your book, it addresses the different – and I liked this. I kind of highlighted the American Psychiatric Association's recommendation for – the like what's healthy in terms of media use, and most of the studies unfortunately have only focused on TV, and the studies found that the association to obesity and media use is equivalent, especially in adolescents that watch 5 or more hours of TV per day. It's associated with obesity. However, they're finding that the hours of television watching is actually going down, but nobody's noticing that the hours of social is going up, or maybe those studies haven't been posted yet. So it's a transfer of an addiction. Right. Yeah, it's awesome.
Right, right. And, you know, 8 to 11 hours is the norm now in front of a screen.
8 to 11
for
hours.
A child, 8 to 11 hours a day. And a child born in 2013 will have spent 1 year of his life in front of a screen by the time he's 7.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, and wow. when we're in front of a screen, remember, we're generally inside, and we're generally not moving, right? So these are great concerns, and what's happening is that we are replacing more and more our real, physically lived world with a virtual world.
And,
so,
right.
You know, a lot of people say, well, why is it any less real, you know, or any less in the present moment if you're living what's happening in that screen? Well, the thing is that there's a tremendous amount to be gained from being embodied. So when we're actually where we are, mm-hmm. we're feeling our feet, we're touching what we're touching, we are eating that apple and having our senses alive, not just our mind in our Sims game or what have you, but thousands of studies, you know, have shown that when we're embodied, we feel a sense of grounding, we feel a sense of calm. We are, when we're in our heads, we are anxious, we are not generally connected, we are feeling ungrounded, all these sorts of things. We've got to get back down into the body. And mm-hmm. so, you know, wonderful things like the explosion of yoga, the explosion of this sort of new age movement is at the same time showing us we are needing to be in our bodies. And you know, so what I would say to parents in some way, because you're bringing in kids, you know, is we have to, first and foremost, we have to model the behavior. We're not modeling
right.
the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
What parents are saying to me is, well, you know, my child wants to be online, so I'm giving him what he wants. Well, guess what? We have to actually be the ones to not be liked. We have to be willing to take the hit, you know, and keep pointing our children to how does that feel for you? How does that feel when you have a play date with somebody and they're on their device the whole time with other people? How does it feel for you when you spent a whole day teching? Do you feel well? Do you feel what I call tired and wired, kind of anxious and amped up, but also exhausted? And, you know, keeping them in touch with how is this working for you, right? Because my daughter, I have a teenager as well, will say, you know, I don't feel that well after I've spent the whole day Snapchatting. I really don't. Mm-hmm. When we lose that sort of touch with ourselves, that just becomes normal, right, or not having any connection to our bodies and just living in a virtual, when that becomes normal, that's frightening to me.
What about being a model as a parent, spending your time on your phone and texting and on Facebook in front of your children when you could be connecting with them? What kind of model are you?
Well, the model I'm speaking of, and I don't want to shame or blame any parents who, listen, raising children, as we all know, is it's not for the faint of heart. It's one of the hardest tasks that there is. And there are times where we just need the babysitter of the iPad. We just need to hand it over. Here, 15 minutes. I need a break. But in a larger sense, I'm talking about setting an intention that I need to show my children that something else is important, that the profundity of our lives, of being born, existing, we need to show them that connecting eye to eye, that showing up for the moment, that being in the discomfort, that being willing to be present, right, that this is really ultimately what creates a feeling of love, the feeling of our lives mattering. You know, where we put our attention and our time is what we're saying is important. If our child is looking at us all day, you know, texting and doing what they're learning is that they're not.
Right.
Important.
Yeah.
That's what they're learning.
Yeah. It's definitely
And they're
going
to write a whole narrative out of that. Whatever is true,
and
they're
going
to write the narrative.
Yeah, and repeat the behavior. Well, it's really great to raise awareness about this. The name of Nancy Collier's book is called The Power of Off. The Power of Off. And you could just become more aware of how you are using your social devices and bring attention to it and then choose what you want to feel instead. But being aware of it is the first step. So thank you so much, Nancy. Great information. We could talk forever. There's so much more to talk about, but people pick up the book. All right.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Nice to be here. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. And until next time, I invite you all to stay aware.